Hey, everybody, and welcome back. You guys can see my dog, Atlas. Come here. Come here, bud. He's chilling in the background, right? Just hanging out. He's, like, very needy. He's always around us all the time, but anyway. Anyway, today we're going to be breaking down the UFC on ESPN 38 card, right, which is headlined by Armand Sarukian and Mateusz Gamrot. So, Armand Sarukian, obviously one of those guys who I really feel like kind of burst onto the scene back when his fight against Islam Makhachev happened and people realized, like, oh man, this kid's the real fucking deal, right? So good to see him in a main event spot and against a tough guy in Gamrot, who's a talented grappler. So yeah, I'll be going through each of the fights on the card, giving you my picks for them, let you know how I'll be betting them, which I don't necessarily recommend taking my advice, right? I'll post a link to the spreadsheet. Overall, I'm down 8 units, right, which I feel like I can make back up, but man, lately I haven't been putting out, like, the podcast and stuff, right, and I just haven't been putting out as much content in general, and I've just kind of been, like, picking through the fights at random without really watching any footage on them or, like, watching very, like sporadic footage, and it's shown, man, I lost 12 bets in a row. 12! Right? Now, granted, some of them I just bet on huge underdogs because there's potential payoff, right? Like, Daniel Argueta was a huge underdog, so I was like, fuck it, why not? Half a unit, right? Alex Da Silva, Felice Herrig, Dan Ige, Yuri Prohashka by knockout, Batgero Dana, Jacob Malkoon, Ramazan Ameev, Andre Fiallo, Yoani Onchechek, Tyler Santos, which I still think I got fucked on, and then Julian Marquez, right? I lost all those in a row, but I wasn't really watching footage at the time, and I think it kind of shows, right? I paid for it. So overall, I'm down 8 units, and yeah, we're going to try to work to, like, build that back up now that I've been watching a little bit more, and I think I have a little bit of a better feel for how the fights might potentially play out, right? Like, you never fucking know it's fighting, but feeling a little better about some of the bets that I want to place. Anyway, one thing before that I did just want to talk about real quick, or two things before we get started. So first, over in Bellator tonight, the middleweight belt is on the line in a fight between Johnny Eblen and Gegard Mousasi. And man, everyone's like, can Eblen, can he pull off the upset? I don't fucking know, man. It's Gegard Mousasi. Gegard Mousasi is a bad motherfucker, but that's on tonight, so keep an eye out for that. I wish I had more time to do, like, breakdowns on Bellator fights, but I just don't, you know what I mean? And primarily focus, like, watching the footage and everything on the UFC. So anyway, let's get started. Oh no, one more thing. Cowboy is fighting Jim Miller on July 2nd at UFC 276. He's stepping in for Bobby Green, who was originally supposed to fight Miller. And after this back and forth with Joe Lozon trying to get the fight booked, and then Dana White said it's never going to happen again, Cowboy gets a new opponent, right, and he's going to be fighting Jim Miller, which is a good fight. So that's UFC 276 on July 2nd, so Independence Day weekend. But yeah, let's get started breaking this main card down. So we're going to start off with the first fight, and that's Chris Curtis versus Rodolfo Vieira. And this is an interesting one, man, because Rodolfo Vieira obviously has that strong grappling background, right? ADCC world champion. He's won several world championships in the gi, right, throughout his career, so he's a very credentialed grappler. And you got to see in his most recent fight, right? I mean, Saperbek Safarov, he submitted him with a first-round arm triangle, but you got to see, like, I like the win over Dustin Stoltzfus because you got to see a little bit of adversity there, and then he got the takedown late in the fight and got the win, right? But we have seen him wilt a little bit against a guy in Anthony Fluffy Hernandez who guillotined him in the second round. But when you're an ADCC world champion, which is like no-gi guys, you, no offense, I don't think you tap to Anthony Hernandez unless it's complete and total exhaustion. Like, I don't think Hernandez just hit him with this boom, this quick submission. It was like, what you saw was Anthony Hernandez outfought Rodolfo Vieira and broke him and then was able to lock up a submission, right? It wasn't like this, like, incredibly, like, technical display of grappling where he was overwhelming Vieira with technique. It was like he broke him. That's how I viewed that fight, right? So what worries me a little bit is I think you see these moments of doubt from Vieira at times, right? And I think that's going to be a big factor in this fight because I really think the main difference maker in this fight is going to be that Chris Curtis is going to present a style to Rodolfo Vieira that he's never seen before. And while Rodolfo Vieira, if he gets Curtis to the ground, and that's a big if with jiu-jitsu guys, right? If he gets Curtis to the ground, that's going to be a different world for Curtis. He's probably never felt any of that type of jiu-jitsu before, but my point is just that Chris Curtis has seen high-level wrestling before. Guys who have been more successful getting to the takedown than I think someone like Rodolfo Vieira is going to be. Now, don't get me wrong. You got to be careful with Vieira's striking. He's got power in his strikes. He does come down the middle with things. It's actually pretty crisp. He's got decent footwork. He's clearly put a lot of work into that area, right? And he stays pretty technically sound. But Chris Curtis has that kind of like refined, the boxing style that he presents is very him, if that makes sense. Like he's got it. It's down. It's who he is. His style reflects his personality. And he's had a long career to figure that out. He's 28-8 going against a guy who's 8-1. And if you don't think that experience and stuff and fighting matters, look at the fucking Anthony Hernandez fight. It definitely does. I think that Curtis coming out in that kind of like southpaw stance where he's kind of like raising things up the guard and his boxing combinations are going to be more crisp. He's going to put things together with more fluidity. I like him in this fight, man. I think that he's seen people who are more capable of getting the fight to the ground throughout his career. He's just going to have had more looks and he's going to present Vieira with a problem that Vieira's never seen before. And I think that up until the fight gets to the ground, Curtis is going to see everything else that Vieira's thrown at him. He's going to see all these takedown attempts, good striking, etc., all that stuff, right? I think that's going to be a big difference maker in this one. And with Chris Curtis at minus like 135, I think he's at right now on DraftKings, I'm going like just standard 2 units on him. I think it's a good fight, a good matchup, and I can see moments where Vieira might be able to give him trouble. But overall, I just like the fact that, like I said, Curtis has been there and done that with a lot of high-level guys. And I think Vieira is going to be very thrown off by this like kind of peculiar boxing style of Chris Curtis. All right, next fight is a bantamweight matchup between Nate Maness and Umar Nurmagomedov. Nate Maness, 14-1, pretty impressive record going up against Nurmagomedov, is 14-0, but Nurmagomedov is a massive favorite in this fight. Like minus 1,050. And I think Maness is like plus 650 or something. But here's something to consider, guys. Umar Nurmagomedov has finished his last 3 fights in a row by rear naked choke, right? He has 7 submissions total on his record. Only 1 knockout win and the rest are decisions. I think Umar Nurmagomedov... Now, the odds are skewed vastly in Nurmagomedov's favor, I think for a reason. I think that Maness is defensively irresponsible with his boxing a little bit. And while he comes forward and brings a lot of power and stuff, it also brings a lot of openings. And I think that he's going to be confused by this kind of like crazy kicking style and this distance and movement that Nurmagomedov is going to present him. And as a result of that, I think he's going to overextend and try to punch really hard and try to connect with Nurmagomedov. And that's going to leave openings for Nurmagomedov to get to the takedown. And I think once Nurmagomedov changes levels and grabs a hold of Maness, it's not going to be like anything he's seen at that point. I think Nurmagomedov is going to be able to crawl over him. I think he takes the path of least resistance, and I think he gets another submission win. And the odds on Nurmagomedov getting a submission win in this one are plus 100. And you got to realize, this is a guy who has finished half of his fights by submission. Only 1 by knockout, despite the fact that he's like an excellent kicker, right? And the rest, like I said, by decision. But the fact that he's such a big favorite against a guy who is pretty defensively irresponsible and who does like to throw bombs, a guy who gets hurt early in his fights, and a guy who I think hasn't seen the type of like swarming, smothering. I just think Nurmagomedov is going to be able to like run through him when he grabs a hold of him in those situations. I really do. And I think it's kind of a matter of time before Maness just makes a mistake. And Nurmagomedov, while he's going to probably have like some advantages on the feet, I think he takes the path of least resistance and goes to the takedown. I think he has a big grappling advantage. And I think that while we've seen Maness kind of defend some of those takedowns in the past, we've also seen him get taken down. And I just think that the way Nurmagomedov advances and hunts for the finish is going to be different than anything Maness has seen. And I think it's going to cost him. I know I'm talking about this in like kind of a lot of definites, right? And I don't really mean to. It's a fight. Maness definitely has a chance. But I just think that Nurmagomedov's kicking style is going to let him throw strikes from a distance where he's not really in danger. But Maness is going to want to counter. He's going to want to bang, and he's going to come forward, and it's going to lead to takedown entries for Nurmagomedov. So I think he kind of just like plays around on the feet, keeps his distance until he gets Maness to react to something, come in a little too aggressively, and he's going to shoot underneath and get to the finish somehow. Let's see, moving on. Thiago Moises versus Christos Yagos. This is an interesting fight, man, because you got to realize that Yagos is a veteran, right? 19-9. Granted, he just lost to the man who's headlining this card, Narmon Sarukian, most recently, right? But moments in that fight make you go, okay, this guy still is a veteran. He still has like a little bit of wrestling chops about him, right? He took Sean Soriano down several times with some good takedowns, and he chains things together, right? He hunts for things pretty aggressively. He has power in his hands. Now, granted, you can tag him, but I just wonder how Thiago Moises, and I think Moises is a big favorite in this one because when you watch him fight, everything is technically sound, right? He's always coming straight down the pipe with things, throws a lot of leg kicks in there, which we've seen Yago struggle with a little bit, right? So that could be a huge factor. And Moises is very content to just like fade backwards and try to counter, right? It just makes me wonder, though, how he's going to do against somebody like Yago, who is super aggressive. I don't really like any of the money on this fight because I don't know how it plays out. And in my heart, I think Moises does win. I think he backs up. He's going to have a little bit more variety in his attack, a little bit more crispness. And I think he's going to go after the legs, which is going to be a huge problem for Yagos. I think Yagos is going to have trouble countering stuff like that. But again, you go back to the fight against like Arman Tsarukyan for Yagos. And he like Tsarukyan went for a takedown and he ended up on top. Yagos did. He defended well and ended up on top. Now, granted, Tsarukyan worked his way right back up to his feet and got its range and everything and obviously knocked him out, right? But... And, like, actually, I think Tsarukyan took him down again after he got up. He got in on another double and then, like, got the knockout from there. Anyway, my point is just that, like, Yagos will chain things together, and he does come after things aggressively. And I wonder what happens if Yagos puts this fight up against the cage early on and if something like that starts to play out, right? And just wearing on Thiago and not letting him get in those situations where... He is just picking you off at range and sliding back out of the way of things and circling around the octagon until he can start putting the pressure on you. I wonder if I kind of think the answer, and there might be a path to success here for Yagos, is to make this fight gritty. Put it up again. And then you keep hearing all this stuff about like Thiago Moises as a wizard on the ground. Man, Yagos is probably, I would say he's not as good on the ground technically in terms of some of the transitions and stuff, but he's a better wrestler, I think. I think he's a better offensive wrestler. So these exchanges up against the cage in particular are what I'm going to be watching out for. I don't know. We'll see. I like Moises, but I can see some avenues to victory for Yagos in this fight. I don't know. Let me pull up the line because I kind of think this is a fight that goes the distance, if I'm being honest. I just kind of think that the way they'll end up battling it out will either be like Yago's grinding up against the cage and stuff. Like I just think that it's going to end up being like kind of like a gritty fight or a fight where Moises is just kind of like picking his shots and Yagos is staying alive and trying to come forward, but he's just getting dotted up, right? Let's see. Where's the over? Over 2.5 minus 135. Man, I don't know, because I could see either guy finishing it too. Like, they both have that capability. I don't really like any of the action on this one, if I'm being honest. So, probably not going to bet any money on this one. I do like Moises. Like I said, I think he fights a technical fight, backs up, works the leg kick super effectively, and just kind of, like, outpoints Yagos and maybe more of, like, a point fighting style, right? But I just kind of, I don't know. Like I said, I can see where Yagos could be successful in this fight, and especially in that wrestling department and making things gritty. All right, next is a heavyweight matchup between Josh Parisian and Alain Badeau. So, Alain Badeau, it's French, I'm probably mispronouncing it. All right, so both guys have losses to Parker Porter on the record. Poor Badeau ran into Tom Aspinall and got knocked out back in October 2020, right? And both guys have, like, really, Badeau is riding a 3-fight losing streak, right? Like, he lost to Rodrigo Nascimento, and that got overturned to a no contest. But lost to Parker Porter most recently, was knocked out by Rodrigo Nascimento in the bout before that, and then knocked out by Tom Aspinall in the fight before that, right? For Parisian, he picked up a split decision win over Roque Rodriguez when they fought back in 2021, but that was kind of a fight where he struggled in close in the clinch and stuff, and Rodriguez would land those shots, right? I think that really the key for Parisian is going to be to try to keep the fight at range, but that strength of his that where he finds moments of success in these other fights when he is at range, that might be hard to implement against Badeau, because I think that's what Badeau is going to want to do as well. You know, like I think you saw from Parker Porter, he implemented a pretty like wrestling heavy approach, and Badeau had the advantage in the boxing department. And I think that in terms of technical boxing, and it's also going to be the fact that Badeau is going to throw combinations in this fight. Whereas Parisian, I think he has a little bit of a power advantage and he might be able to tag him with something. I mean, fuck, they're heavyweights. You never know what's going to happen in this. Also, Parisian does a much better job of working that front kick up the middle, right? Using his kicks a little bit more. But I think Badeau has an advantage with the hands. And I think the biggest difference in this fight is going to be that when they come together and collide, Parisian will be landing single shots and Badeau's going to be throwing combinations. And I think that we've seen both guys get tired, but in a fight where it's going to primarily, I think both guys are going to stay on the feet. And if it goes against the cage, I think we've seen honestly better examples of takedown defense from Alain Badeau than we have from Josh Parisian. I think that Badeau's a little bit more competent in that department. I like what I saw from him a little bit more. I like the layers of defense that he had to things, right? He's ended up in top position before. He's a problem there, and I think he'll have an advantage in the grappling department as well. So, whereas Parisian probably has a power advantage and could end things if he finds that shot, I also think that the fact that Badeau is going to throw more volume and combinations, right? Whereas Parisian will get caught throwing one or two shots at a time, Badeau will be coming through as he's throwing and connecting at the end of those combinations, and that'll be a big difference maker. Because for a fight where I think like both guys are going to want it to take place on the feet, I like the guy who throws his hands more and who throws crisper combinations, and I feel like that's Badeau. I feel like the kicks could come in handy for Parisian, but I just think that kicks are going to be exhausting for a big guy, right? And like I said, we've seen both of them get tired. So I think the person that dictates the center of the octagon, is aggressive with their footwork moving forward, and who throws more volume is going to end up wearing on the other person. It's still more exhausting to get beat up than it is to be beating somebody up. You know what I mean? So whoever gets their offense going, I think is going to have an advantage in this fight. And I think the person most likely to get their offense going is Badeau because he throws combinations. I think that's going to be a huge difference maker in this fight. And I'm going 2 units on Alain Badeau is how I'm betting it. I want to say he's like minus 115 right now on DraftKings. I just logged off of it for some unknown reason, right? I should have just left it pulled up. But I think he's like 115 right now. I think when I bet on him, I might have got him at like minus 130. So I think the line moved a little bit. But regardless, I think he's a pretty good bet. I just like the way he throws his hands. All right. Let's see. Next on the card, we have... What's going on? My shit's like... Nothing's loading. Who's next on this fucking card? I'm trying to pull it off the top of my head. And everything on my fucking laptop just like froze. Here we go. Oh my God, how could I forget? Neil Magny versus Shavkat Rahmonov, right? So this is a fucking interesting fight, guys. Because Rahmonov is a minus 390 favorite against a guy in Neil Magny who's ranked number 10 in the welterweight division right now. A guy who's been around forever. A guy who we know has incredible cardio. A guy who we know does great in situations up against the cage. And I'll tell you what, guys. The hype for Rahmonov is well-deserved, right? He beat Alex Oliveira. And then his next two wins, though, are like not... I mean, they were great. They were spectacular wins, right? Like the fact that he is 15-0 right now, has 8 wins by knockout and 7 by submission is huge. But Carlston Harris, yeah, it was an impressive knockout. Don't get me wrong. Like the spinning back kick or the spinning hook kick, great. Michel Prezeres, though, I mean, a guy who he had a huge height advantage over, huge reach advantage over, right? And like, not that they're not impressive wins, but he's definitely hasn't fought somebody like Neil Magny yet. And you saw things in the Carlston Harris fight, little things that he did up against the cage where I think Magny is going to have an advantage. Now, one thing you have to give Rahmonov credit for is that he's incredibly calm for how young he is in his UFC career. He approaches everything. It's very calculated. It feels very cold, which is, I think, kind of like the way to be. But he's running into a guy who has seen a lot in his career, a guy who's been hurt several times in his career and came back from it, right? Like a guy who's got through a lot of adversity. And I just like, it's not that I don't think Rahmonov has a chance. It's not that at all. I think that he definitely does. I think that he's a very talented fighter. To deny the hype around him would kind of be foolish, right? You can see that he's incredibly skilled. But when you run into guys like this quickly, man, they can pose problems for you, and they can just have that like veteran prowess that comes through, and they show you parts of the game that you weren't quite prepared for, and that if you had been on a more smooth trajectory up, you would have ran into it like in layers. Now Rachmaninoff is going from competition down here, in my opinion, to like, boom, he's going to meet it here, and it's going to be a lot to overcome. And you guys saw how big of a favorite was, or Khamzat was against Gilbert Burns, and look how that played out. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily that Neil Magny is quite on the level that Gilbert Burns is as of right now, right? I'm not saying that. But I think that we had seen more from a dominant style, a style that was proven to be dominant in the wrestling department from Chimaev that we had, like, I don't know, his hype was like, I don't know. I think this is a tough fight for Rachmaninoff. I think that just because I think Niels Magny's approach is going to be, I'm going to put this guy in the clinch and I'm going to try to walk him down. I'm going to get it in the cage and try to like make this fight gritty and put him through a fight. I think that's what he's going to have to do against Rachmaninoff. I think he's going to have to, you know, it's not that Neil Magny can't strike. He can definitely box and stuff, but I think the way he wins this fight is he relies on his gas tank and he tries to wear on Rachmaninoff over the course of the fight. And I think he's capable of doing it. I don't know, man. I'm going a unit and a half on Neil Magny to win, just straight out win. I think that this, you can't, it's not that, I like I said, I think that Rachmaninoff has the skills and everything to get this done. But A, I train at Easton, right? So we're located primarily out in this Denver area, Denver border all over the place there. And Neil Magny trains the Elevation Fight Team. I'm definitely not fucking picking against him. And I think that he's going to win. I really do. Like, if I'm picking a fighter in this one, and the fact that he's plus 90, or plus, like, three, what? What is he, plus 390? It might not be that large. What is it here? Plus 320. Shavkat is a minus 390. The fact that he's such a big dog, I don't know how you're not putting money on Neil Magny in this one, man. Like I said, it's not that Rachmaninoff can't do it. I don't discount anybody. It's just that when you're making this massive leap in competition like this, Neil Magny's a bad motherfucker, and he's been there before, man. He's going to put Rachmaninoff in positions that he hasn't seen, I think. And we'll see, man. We'll see how they do in the clinch, because like I said, there's just little things I saw from Rachmaninoff against the clinch when he was trying to take Harris down that I think could be cleaned up, and I think Magny might be able to exploit some of that work when they get up against the cage. We'll see, but I'm betting on Magny, and I'm actually taking Magny in this fight. All right, next, Armand Sarukian versus Mateusz Gamrot. Mateusz Gamrot. I don't know which one it is, to be honest. All right. I should know, right? Anyway, Sarukian versus Gamrot. This is an interesting matchup because of the grappling of Gamrot, right? Like, we've seen it on display, like the Kimura hit over Jeremy Stevens. And another thing about like Mateusz Gamrot is he has great hips. Like, he has great hip dexterity and flexibility and stuff, and you saw that in the way that he finished Jeremy Stevens. But you just kind of, like, see that he has, like, this – in these transitions and stuff that he gets into, he kind of has this, like, hip flexibility and dexterity that you don't see from a lot of guys, right? Obviously, a very talented grappler coming off of a big fucking win over Diego Ferreira. I think people sleep on Diego Ferreira a little bit. I think that he's incredibly talented. And – Diego put up a good fight throughout that first round, like didn't really let Gamrot secure anything too much, but I felt like Gamrot just fought a fight, like a really intelligent fight. Like he just kind of approached it and he didn't try to hold on to things too much or pin him down too much. He just kind of slowly wore on Diego. And I think that you saw some really good fight IQ on display from Gamrot in that fight against Diego. Right? Because Diego was dangerous early and Gamrot never got discouraged by the fact that Ferreira would get back up or like roll through these things or roll out of things. He just kind of kept it coming consistently and like took the takedown when it was still there, kept working for it. And eventually just Diego being the one defending all the time, it wore on him. You know what I mean? It's more tiring to try to fend those things off, especially if they're being successful at least some of the time. Right? So a great win from Gamrot there. He also has that knockout win over Scott Holtzman, right? So the question is, though, is it going to be enough to overcome what Armand Sarukian has? And this is honestly, like, Sarukian reminds me, I'm not talking like a silhouette, right? I'm talking like if you watch like two silhouettes going, they wouldn't look like each other necessarily, but he reminds me of GSP, man. His wrestling is very, very good. And his striking is like competent enough to get the job done. And it's actually very technical too. He just doesn't do anything wrong. And when he does, he has like for example, in the fight against Yagos, right, when he went for a takedown and ended up on his back, he got his butterfly hooks and worked up against the cage, stood up immediately, and then got to the takedown again. Like, he just does everything. Like, even when he makes mistakes, he recovers from them well because he's so well-versed in every area. He's good at getting up off his back, right? He's good at securing the takedown. He has a very diverse striking arsenal. He picks, and the number one thing, he picks and chooses things at the right times, right? Like, he's very methodical in his approach to fighting. I think Arman Tsarukyan's a bad motherfucker, dude. I think he's very, you know, another analogy that I'm just kind of drawing here, like, I don't know how I got on this, but I was watching this fucking, like, or I was reading up on, like, racehorses and stuff, and, like, what makes a, like, truly great racehorse, and I forget which breed it was specifically, but there's this one breed I was, like, what attributes do you want, right? And they were saying that, actually, you want your horse to be very average. Like, that leads to, like, in terms of its build, like, all of its features should kind of just be more proportionate, and that's what leads to it being, like, a good racehorse. And I think the same thing about Arman Tsarukyan and his skill set. I think that, like, he might not be the best in the world at anything. Like, I think he's a very good – I think he's just very, very good at everything. Everything. He's good at the decision-making aspect. His skills are there to match it. He can wrestle you. He can dictate where the fight is taking place. He's competent enough to stand on his feet with really talented guys. He just has, like, everything. And he's one of those guys who I look at and I think, damn. And I mean, like, same thing with Islam, obviously. I think that while Gamrot is going to have a little bit of the specialty in the grappling and stuff, I don't think his grappling in terms of, like, its application to mixed martial arts is going to be able to overcome the defensive prowess of Tsarukyan. I think we're going to see Tsarukyan display really good takedown defense, and I think Tsarukyan is going to have an advantage in the striking department. I think Tsarukyan takes over those moments, and I think his well-roundedness, and I'm saying, I said averageness like it's a bad thing, but it's not. It's like, whereas Gamrot's going to be very specialized, I just don't think it's enough to overcome how good Tsarukyan is going to be in those positions as well. And I think that he takes advantage on the feet, and I think he gets a finish in this fight, man. I think he gets Gamrot out of here late in the fight, like fourth or fifth round. Or it goes to a decision where Tsarukyan just kind of slowly starts pouring it on more and more. I think Gamrot's kind of dangerous early because he's athletic, right? Like I said, very aggressive, hunting for, like, he'll hunt for his takedowns and stuff. But I think he has to hunt for the takedowns over and over and over again. And I think that whereas he kind of like was able to wear on Diego, I think Arman has a little bit more like of that willingness to put the offensive wrestling on you as well, whereas Diego wasn't quite. And I think that's going to in turn wear on Gamrot. And I think that his attempts to take Tsarukyan down are going to be well defended, and that's also going to wear on him. And these things are just going to compound over the course of the fight. And Arman's going to, I think, have a big advantage in the striking department, the footwork, and the setups. So I'm going Tsarukyan by finish, but I don't know. I'm not really comfortable betting on this one, to be honest. I could see it playing out like it is. But I do think Sarukian's going to win. I think it's going to be very hard for Gamrot to control Tsarukyan in the positions that he needs to in order to be successful. So going with Tsarukyan. So let's just recap the whole card real quick from bottom to top. First, I'm taking Chris Curtis, and I'm betting on this one. I'm just going 2 units on the Chris Curtis money line. I just think that he poses too interesting of a style to Vieira, and Vieira's never going to see anything like that before. I got Umar Nurmagomedov by submission at plus 100 against Nate Maness. Thiago Moises versus Christos Yagos. I think I'm going to stay away from that one. But I am going with Thiago Moises. But again, some avenues to victory might be there from Yagos if he makes the fight a little bit dirtier. Parisian versus Badeau. I'm going with Badeau. I just like the fact that I think he's going to throw combinations. I think that he's going to be putting more volume out there, and he's going to be a little bit crisp. I think the combinations are going to be a big difference maker in this one. Whereas Parisian, like I said, kind of throws 1 to 2 strikes at a time. Badeau's stringing things together with his hands, which I think is less fatiguing than kicking for big guys too. And Parisian relies on that front kick. I'm going Neil Magny to upset Shavkat Rakhmonov. I think it's going to happen, man. I think that Rakhmonov's going to get into situations, particularly in the clinch, that might get him into trouble against a veteran like Magny. And when Magny's wearing on you like that in the clinch, I think he's stronger than people expect him to be there too, and he's very technical. So I think in those situations, Rakhmonov might have some trouble. And then I like Armand Sarukian over Mateus Gamrot. I just think that, like I said, the well-roundedness of Sarukian pays off in this fight, and he's going to be just a little bit better than Gamrot in every category. And I think he's going to be able to take that offensive wrestling to Gamrot, and he's going to be able to hang with them in those areas, and a big advantage on the feet, I think, gets Sarukian the victory in this one. So that's going to wrap this one up, guys. Let's see how the fights go tomorrow. Don't forget about the Bellator fights tonight. Tune into those, see what happens. Like I said, I'd love to start doing more coverage on like the Bellator, PFL, Ryzen, One events, but you know, we'll see. Maybe in due time, but right now I'm just too fucking busy, man. All right. Anyway, guys, thank you again for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it. If you enjoyed the content, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button, give it a thumbs up, all that fucking good shit, and otherwise have a good day. Bye-bye.